is from Psalm 103, which is on page, getting there, on page 605 in the Bibles. Psalm 103. Praise the Lord, O my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. Praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all your sins and heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit and crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. The Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He made known his ways to Moses, his deeds to the people of Israel. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve, or repay us according to our iniquities. For as high as the heavens are above the earth, so great is his love for those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far has he removed our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion on those who fear him. For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like the flower of the field. The wind blows over it and it is gone, and its place remembers it no more. But from everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him, and his righteousness with their children's children, with those who keep his covenant and remember to obey his precepts. The Lord has established his throne in heaven, and his kingdom rules over all. Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, who obey his word. Praise the Lord, all his heavenly hosts, you his servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. This is the word of the Lord.
Probably only need one Bible at a time. Okay, let's pray, shall we, as we look into God's word together. Heavenly Father, we pray that you would open up your word to us. We pray that you would open our eyes to see you more clearly. We pray that you would open up our hearts to love you more. We pray that you would open up our minds to understand you and open up our mouths that we might speak your praise to the glory of your name. Amen. How is your praise life this evening? That's the question that this psalm raises for us. Psalm 103, it begins, "Praise the Lord, O my soul." And it kind of invites us to reflect on how we're doing at praising God. So how are you doing? I'm not necessarily expecting an answer. Think about that yourself. You might not want to share that with everyone. But how is your praising? Has this week, this past week, been a week where the praises of God have been quick to be on your lips, have been easy to flow from your heart? Or has it been a hard week to praise God? I have to confess that this week has been a tough week for me to praise God. It's been a difficult week in lots of ways for lots of reasons, and it's been quite hard to praise. Some weeks it's very easy, sometimes it's very hard. Praise does not always come quickly and easily to my mind and from my heart. And that is why it's great to spend time in a psalm like this, because this is a psalm of praise, but perhaps even more than a psalm of praise, it's a psalm that moves us to praise. It's a psalm that helps us to learn how to praise. It gives us motivation to praise. It's a psalm written, as the Bible tells us here, by David, by King David. And David has learned what it means to praise God. David has learned what it means to know how that praise of God flows from within him. And so we've got the privilege of listening in and learning from David as he talks to us about praise, as he encourages himself to praise God. So if we need encouragement to praise, here David is giving us encouragement to praise. So then we have that opening verse. What is it that David's saying? Praise the Lord, all my soul, all my inmost being, praise his holy name. You see, what David is doing here is that he is encouraging us to have praise that wells up within us. He doesn't want us just to have praise that is on our lips. He wants praise that comes from our hearts. He says to himself, praise the Lord, O my soul. He's talking to himself. He's encouraging himself. Praise the Lord, O my soul. All my inmost being, praise his holy name. From the very center of myself, I want praise to well up. And isn't that a prayer that we can echo, or we'd love to echo? That somehow within us, there is a wellspring of praise that flows out in the whole of our lives, including what we say and what we sing. I love those lines because they reflect really what C.S. Lewis wrote about when he said these words. He said, except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, that's great language, isn't it? Except where intolerably adverse circumstances interfere, praise almost seems to be inner health made audible. That's really what David is saying here. How is your inner health today? How is my inner health today? Our inner health is made audible by the praises of God that spill out of what is going on inside us. And so this is a psalm for an inner health check. This is a psalm for inner health medicine. It's a psalm that enables us to reignite the praises of God in our life. And I think that's something that we could all do with. Whether you feel like the praises of God are ebbing a little bit in your life, or whether they're blazing fire, we could always do with more. So let's listen in to David and see how he reignites the praise of God in his lips. Here's the first thing. What he does is he says, remember what God has done. Remember what God has done. So he says in verse 2, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. Forget not all his benefits. The UK premium bonds, you're probably aware, are a UK savings scheme. And that includes a prize draw every month with prizes running up to a top prize of £1 million every month. But what is surprising is that loads of those prizes go unclaimed. And a recent year, at the end of the year, nearly 1 million people had winnings that had not been collected from the premium bonds. And that added up to something like £41 million of benefits that had been forgotten, that had been neglected, that were there but had not been taken up, and they'd just been ignored. It sort of boggles the mind, doesn't it? I mean, I guess there's probably lots of reasons for that. Maybe you changed address and they couldn't get a hold of you or whatever. But to have those kind of riches ready and waiting but neglected and forgotten seems extraordinary, doesn't it? And yet, that is what David is talking about here in this psalm. As he says, praise the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. There's lots in this psalm. There's so many different things. We're not going to have time to dig into every single one, but really there are only two commands in the whole psalm. Praise the Lord and don't forget. Praise the Lord and don't forget. And if we do that, says David, then we're well on the way to reigniting praise in our life. And the reason often why we're slow and sluggish to praise is that we've forgotten God's benefits to us. And let's face it, we all find it easy to forget, don't we? We're all forgetful people. Yeah, I imagine each one of us has been through that experience. I had this just the other day, where you walk into a room for a particular purpose and completely forget why you came in there. Yeah, we're all nodding. We've all been there. And don't worry, I think I've thought about this. I don't think that's got anything to do with old age. I think it's to do with being human. I think that's just what we're like. As human beings, we are forgetful. We all forget. We forget our keys. We forget where we put our glasses. We forget any number of things. And the sadness is, the danger is that we can forget what God has done for us. One sense, it doesn't really matter too much whether we forget why we've come into a room. We'll probably remember if it's important. But it is dangerous if we forget what God has done for us. And so David directs us, he says, forget not all God's benefits. And he reminds us of some of God's benefits to us. So he says in verses 3 to 5, he is the God who forgives all your sins, who heals all your diseases, who redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, who satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. Those are just some of the benefits of God. And David says, don't forget these things. Don't let them slip from your mind or from your memory. These are the benefits that God gives to us. Some of those benefits we'll only see fully when Jesus returns. Some of those benefits were won completely for us on the cross of Christ. Some of those benefits we see given to us day by day, moment by moment in our daily lives. But they are all the goodness of God that we should never, ever forget. So I wonder, do you take steps to remember what God has done for you? I was thinking about this today. It's kind of, if we're forgetful people, we've usually got strategies to help us remember, right? I have a to-do list. I have to write things down. Because if I don't write things down, I will never remember it. And it happens again and again. When I've forgotten something, it's because I haven't written it down. Well, what do we do to try and remember what God has done for us? We could write them down. Maybe you might want to take just that little chunk of verses 3 to 5 this week and take one each day and write it down and think it through to mull it over in your mind, to deliberately bring to mind God's benefits to us. I think it's one of the powers of singing worship songs. Songs stick in your memory. It's one of the benefits of them. It's one of the joys of them. And one of the great things about singing worship songs is that we are reminded of what God has done and we have that stuck in our minds. I've had a song stuck in my mind for days now. And it's not a worship song. It's a fairly boring song. And I can't seem to get it out. But why not have a better song stuck in my mind that reminds me of God's goodness and benefit? Whatever it is, let's think about how we can remind ourselves of what God has done so that reignites our praise. Remember what God has done. But David doesn't stop there. He gives us another point. He says, remember also what God is like. Remember what God has done, but remember what God is like. He reignites his praise in his life by thinking about what God is like. And before we listen to what David says about that, just think about how amazing that is in itself. Here is God, the infinite and majestic creator of the entire universe. His ways are far beyond our ways. He is far bigger than we can even imagine or think. And yet, we can know what God is like. Our finite human minds can somehow understand the infinite God. And that is because God makes himself known to us. He shows himself to us, ultimately, in the Lord Jesus Christ. David here points us back to Moses. And he says, verse 7, that he made known his ways to Moses. God reveals himself in so many different ways, in so many different points throughout the Bible, most clearly through Jesus. But David here is thinking about Moses. And on Mount Sinai, Moses says to God, teach me your ways so that I may know you. God, help me to understand you better. And God shows himself to Moses and he declares himself to Moses by saying these words to him He says, "The Lord, the Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in love and faithfulness." If you want to know me, Moses, here is what I'm like. I am the Lord who is compassionate and gracious. And David repeats that here. He goes back to Mount Sinai, goes back to Moses, and he says, this is what God is like. So David, as he thinks, how is my praise life ebbing? He reignites it by thinking and dwelling on God's character, on God's goodness. And he delights in God's goodness. He directs his mind to God's goodness. He directs his heart to God's goodness. And he invites us to do the same. Think about what God is like. But there's another aspect where I think it's fascinating. Because David doesn't just think what God is like. He also directs us to think about what God is not like. What God is not like. The Baptist preacher, C.H. Spurgeon, put it like this. He says, we ought to praise Lord for what he has not done, as well as for what he has wrought, basically done for us. Even the negative side deserves our adoring gratitude. So I wonder if you've thought about what God is like, but also what God is not like. What God has done, but also what God has not done. And I wonder if our praise is often restricted because of resentment. Maybe we want to praise God, but our heart and our mind is full of all the things that you think God hasn't done for you. The things that I think God hasn't done for me. Maybe our praises stop because our minds are full of questions like, God, why haven't you done that? Why haven't you given me this? Why haven't you come through in this way? I've prayed and I've prayed and I've prayed and it doesn't seem to have happened. And David says, if that's you, think about the other things that God has not done for you. And David says them in verses 9 and 10. He says, he will not always accuse, nor would he harbor his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. So the antidote to resentment is to think about what God ought to do for us. What God ought to do is treat us as our sins deserve. And he doesn't. He doesn't treat us as our sins deserve. And rather, he enables us to come to him despite our sins and our failures. And it's helpful to reignite our praise, to think on and rejoice in those things that God really ought to do if he was being fair, if you like. But he doesn't. Because he is a God who replaces wrath with mercy, who turns failure into love. And so as we think about that, our minds begin to understand and to praise wells up as we think about the love of God. It's the love that is as high as the heavens are above the earth. Yeah, however high or fast or far the latest NASA probe can go, however far outside of the solar system it can go, it will never reach the limit of God's love for us. It's the love of God that has dealt with our sins as far as the east is from the west. As far as you can imagine. East and west never touch. And the great picture here is that we often choose to keep our sins close to us. Perhaps we choose to keep our sins close, to indulge in them again, or to remind ourselves of our unworthiness. But as they peek their heads over the horizon through the cross, God has taken them away to the furthest horizon, never to be seen again. God does not treat us as our sins deserve. Rather, his love, which is so vast, takes our sins and removes them as far as we can imagine, and then even further. How do we reignite our praise? We remember what God has done, and we remember what God is like. And frankly, we remember what God is not like too. And then David goes even further in this psalm. He says also, remember what we're like as well. Remember what we're like. I think as I've been reflecting on this, I think often my praise is restricted because I have too high a view of myself and my own abilities. We won't be drawn to praise. We won't be drawn to adore our God if we think we don't need him. If we think that we are sufficient. If we think we can do everything ourselves. If we are drawn down that road, then our praise will be restricted because we don't feel like we really need God. He's a nice addition, but we don't need him in the center of our lives. And David comes in there and he bursts the bubble. So in verse 14 he says, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone." David's description of us is like the flowers of the field. I don't know if you've noticed outside in the front of the vicarage, we have some wonderful flowers that have been planted there, some beautiful roses that were planted by other occupants of the vicarage, not us. We are managing to ensure that they thrive through neglect more than anything else, I think. But they're beautiful flowers. They're amazing roses and other flowers, but they don't last. The rose blooms up and it looks lovely, but before you know it, the petals have fallen off and it disappears. And that's the picture that David is giving to us of what we're like and how often, again, that we forget that we are mortal. We forget that we're not the center of things. We forget that we're not all powerful. We forget that we are not all sufficient. But God does not forget. He knows what we are like. He knows us and he remembers us. And most of all, he is eternal. So David says, "From everlasting to everlasting, the Lord's love is with those who fear him." These words in Psalm 103 are usually used at a funeral service. And they're some of the hardest words that as a vicar you have to say. Either at a funeral service or maybe by a graveside or at a crematorium, you read out these words from Psalm 103. You read out, "For he knows how we are formed. He remembers that we are but dust. As for man, his days are like grass. He flourishes like a flower of the field. The wind blows over it, and it is gone." And you can see the reality of grief in people's faces as you read those words. It's very painful. But the truth of verse 17 is what gives people something to hold on to. It is a wonderful comfort in the face of grief. And it is, in fact, what enables praise to flow even in the midst of grief and pain. For where we are fragile, God is solid. God's love is sure and constant and continuous. See, what David does is he says, if we really want to learn to praise, if we want to reignite our praise, we need to remember that we are not all powerful. We are not all sufficient. But God is. God is. And that will lead us to praise. Remember what God has done. Remember what God is like. Remember what we are like. And then finally, remember what we are part of. The screenwriter and director Joss Whedon wrote about storytelling. And he said this about our tendency as humans. He said, "We learn as humans to forget and to distort, but we also learn to tell a story about ourselves." That's what we're very good at as human beings. We're very good at telling stories. And we always tell a story about ourselves. Now, too often, that story is all about ourselves. And therefore, it becomes a story that is, frankly, rather too small and lacking direction. But in the final part of this psalm, David, or rather God through David, directs us to see ourselves as part of a bigger story. Because this theme of praise to God is something that the whole of creation is involved with. And we are invited to be part of it. So see how the psalm finishes. It says, "Praise the Lord, all you angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding. Praise the Lord, all you heavenly hosts, you servants who do his will. Praise the Lord, all his works, everywhere in his dominion. Praise the Lord, O my soul. The whole of creation is taken up with the theme of praise to God, and we are invited to be part of it. Every single part of this created universe is designed to sing God's praise. And so David says to his own soul, step into that story. Musicians, before they play together, tune their instruments to one another. And it's important to do that because they may be the most skillful players in the world, but their sound will be discordant unless they are in tune with each other. And the thing is, when we forget what God is like, when we forget what God has done, when we forget what we're like, when we forget to praise, we are out of tune with the whole of creation. Creation is designed to sing God's praise. And when we don't, when we forget, we are discordant with the world around us. Our lives strike that out of tune note with the rest of creation, which is giving praise to God. So David, as he finishes his psalm, invites us to tune our life to the song of creation, to take up the instrument of our souls and to direct it in praise, in tune, and in harmony with the whole of creation, in praise to God. Because God knows what we are like. And God is full of everlasting love and compassion. He does not treat us as our sins deserve. But he redeems us, forgives us, crowns us with love and compassion. He wants to reignite the praise in our hearts tonight. And enable us to step into that story of singing God's praise with the whole of creation. So let me pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you are the God who is worthy of all praise. We thank you that you don't treat us as our sins deserve, but rather you treat us with love and compassion and mercy and grace and goodness. And so we ask, reignite our praise tonight. Reignite our praise now. Reignite our praise tonight as we go to sleep and in the morning as we wake up. Reignite our praise throughout this coming week and beyond, that we might be in tune with the rest of your creation, with the heavenly host. We might join together in singing and giving you praise. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.